This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. Last month, a new law banning smoking in public places came into force. Places where it is illegal to light up now include playgrounds, national parks, and campsites. Here to talk more about this is Dr. Nizam Baharum from the Tobacco Control Unit and FCTC Secretariat, Ministry of Health, Malaysia. Dr. Nizam, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
So this new law, the Control of Tobacco Product Amendment Regulations 2017, came into force on February 2nd, and I understand that it expands on the number of public places where smoking is now considered illegal. What was the rationale behind this?
All right. Thank you, Antec, and thank you, BFM, for inviting us to share about the new amendments for the Control of Tobacco Products Regulation 2004 and Amendment 2017. As you said, that with the current amendments, all public parks and certain national parks are added to the list of where smoking is prohibited. And the amendment is actually effective from the 1st February this year. So with this amendment, public park is defined as any open area for the purpose of leisure or recreational activities which contain any soft or hard landscapes or both, such as pedestrian path, jogging tracks, playing fields, game courts or playgrounds. So those are defined as public park. So no one is allowed to smoke in public park anymore except at any open car park. So you can smoke legally at the open car park. And in the same amendment, certain national parks, which are listed in the regulation, are also gazetted as no smoking places, but it only affects certain areas in those national parks, which are the observation towers, campsites, and canopy bridges.
Is the idea behind this law to reduce the number of smokers or to provide more healthy spaces for non-smokers?
As you may well aware of, that the number of no smoking places is getting more and more. As we all know, cigarette smoke is harmful to health. Everybody knows that. I think the latest statement from the WHO stated that cigarette smoke contains up to 7,000 chemicals, of which 70 are carcinogenic or cancer-causing chemicals. And there is an international treaty called the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, or WHO FCTC. Now, this is an international agreement, international treaty. For example, some of the other international conventions or agreements are like WTO trade agreements. There are loads of international trade treaties. Vienna Convention for Protection for the Ozone Layer, Kyoto Protocol for Climate Changes, WIPO Convention for Intellectual Property, and so forth. But WHO FCTC is the first international treaty for health, and it's about smoking, or rather to reduce prevalence of smoking in the world. So our Prime Minister, actually it was Tun Mahathir at the time, has signed for this treaty on December 23rd, 2003, and it took force on 16th September 2005. So we have been a member of WHO FCTC since 2005. So in this treaty, which are legally we are legally bound to, there are 38 articles, of which Article 8 stated that the government shall protect the health of its people by prohibiting smoking in public places by national law to the best of its ability. So hence the idea to increase more and more public places as no smoking places.
I think the places where now it is illegal to smoke is outnumbering the places where it is legal to light up. For a smoker, where is it legal to go and have a cigarette?
Right, okay. Well, the main idea is cigarette smoke is so harmful that no one should be exposed to it, right? Even a spouse to a smoker should not be exposed to the cigarette smoke. So the idea of Article 8 FCTC is all public places should technically be smoke-free. So it should be illegal to smoke in public places. However, in Malaysia, we are expanding it by law a bit at a time, right? So I can tell you the list of places where we cannot smoke, as you probably quite well versed of. For example, we can't smoke in hospitals or clinics, any entertainment centres, public lifts, public toilets, air-conditioned eateries or shops, shopping complexes, public transport, education premises, any government premises, any sports complexes, or any workplace with centralised aircon, air-conditioned system, and so forth. So the list, as you said, the list is getting longer. So technically, people, a smoker should smoke away where people are.
For people who are working in an office, for example, with the stairwell or at the front of the office, outside the lobby, is that legal?
Right. I have to go into technicality here. Within the regulations for tobacco control, it is illegal to smoke anywhere in the gazetted non-smoking places, including 3 meters from the building.
So every public building is considered a gazetted space for non-smoking?
Not quite.
Not quite.
You have to go back to the list. Mm. So certain buildings, such as shopping complexes, government buildings, any workplace with centralized air-conditioned system.
Even if it's privately owned?
Correct.
Building. Okay.
If it's a workplace for general public, then with centralized air-conditioned system, then it's in the list. So it's gazetted as no-smoking places.
Okay.
So within that building and 3 meters away from it, which includes the stairwell, which include the foyer,
right,
technically it's a no-smoking area.
What about outside a restaurant? Is that considered a workplace? Can you smoke outside the restaurant?
Right, okay. With the current law, regulation, you can actually smoke within non-air-conditioned restaurant, which is a lot in Malaysia. And there is a movement to legalise no-smoking ban in open non-air-conditioned restaurant or eateries in Malaysia as well. So at the moment, you can, within, inside the restaurants and also outside non-air-conditioned restaurants.
What about outside a fast food chain?
Right. Outside fast food chain.
Because it's air-conditioned?
Yes,
do we have to be 3 meters away from...
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Technically, you can't smoke on the pavement from that building, from the fast food chain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it extend to vaping as well?
Vaping, yes.
It does?
Yes. Yes. Okay. There was an amendment prior to this which redefined what smoking is. So smoking before was to hold or to have in control a lighted cigarette and to inhale and exhale cigarette smoke. And then the new amendment includes anything that is heated, so including electronically heated, and it includes aerosols or vapes as well. So vaping is considered as smoking under this regulation. So the no smoking prohibition applies to vaping as well on smoking prohibited places.
I think these are all great laws, and the challenge would be getting people to comply with it and also enforcing it. But
right,
before I come to that, all of our policies and law is geared towards reducing the number of smokers in Malaysia.
Right.
Why can't we just ban cigarettes altogether?
Oh, great question, Antek. Why can't we ban cigarettes altogether? That's the golden question. We can. If we have a strong enough political willpower, we can. I would like to state that the Minister of Health would love to have banned cigarettes full stop. However, it takes a strong political will because cigarette itself is a legal trade for hundreds of years. So it's a legal trade such as rice, oil or anything else that is legal, right? So it's not an illicit drug. To make it illegal, you can actually do it, but it takes a very strong political will. I'll give you an example. In Brunei, currently, you cannot legally buy cigarettes. They have technically banned cigarettes through heavy licensing regulations and also through heavy control of productions. There's no cigarette companies in Brunei anymore. So because of all those effects, nobody is selling cigarette in Brunei. It's not worth it to sell cigarettes. So there's no legal sales of cigarettes in Brunei. So they have technically banned it. Right. But in Malaysia, we get so many requests from the public, even among smokers themselves, to legally ban cigarettes. So I think if there's enough strong voice from the public going through to the top, it's a possibility. It's a possibility to ban the sales of cigarettes.
There's a lot of smokers in Malaysia. We'll get to the stats after this short break. I'm speaking today to Dr. Nizam Baharum from the Tobacco Control Union and FCTC Secretariat of the Ministry of Health Malaysia. We're talking about the recent expansion on the smoking ban in public places. We'll talk more about enforcement as well as the cost of smoking. You're listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun Teik. On the show with me today is Dr. Nizam Baharum from the Tobacco Control Unit and FCTC Secretariat of the Ministry of Health Malaysia. FCTC stands for the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. It's our obligation for being a member of the World Health Organization. Before the break, we were talking about the new smoking ban that has expanded on a previous list of public places where it is illegal to smoke. Now it extends to all public areas, national parks, campsites, playgrounds, and limits only open-air car parks as a legal place for smokers to light up. So all this sounds good in theory, but compliance, I think, is a challenge, and enforcement also would be another challenge.
Right.
Who is responsible for enforcing this law? Would it be the police, local council officers? Does the health ministry has health enforcement officers to go around making sure that we comply with this?
Okay, I can share with you the how it is enforced. Because the Control of Tobacco Products Regulations falls under the Food Act 1983, so it is enforced by enforcement officers from the Ministry of Health. However, the Minister of Health has the power to delegate anybody who he feels suitable to enforce this regulation. So we have given power to teachers, headmasters, and we encourage organizations to receive this power to enforce the Control of Tobacco Products Regulations so that we can delegate the power to them as well.
What does that mean? What can a teacher do to a student when he or she sees a student smoking?
Right. Anybody who has been delegated the power by the Minister of Health can actually enforce the regulation, for example, giving fine or notices for any offences under the regulation. So it will be exactly like the health enforcement officer.
So a teacher can give a summon to a student who's caught smoking outside the school?
Yes, that will be one of the offences under the regulations, smoking underage. So these enforcement officers, they do various enforcement activities. For example, dengue control, enforcement on food outlets, if there's any disease outbreak, including smoking offences as well, right? So that there are more than 4,500 officers under the Ministry of Health, which sounds little to enforce over 5 million smokers in Malaysia. But the statistic of 2006 shows that within their regular activities plus some ad hoc enforcement activities, they have managed to get 40,951 notices for various offences under the smoking regulations, by which 32,877, huge number, are for the offences for smoking at prohibited places. Right. So they have done their best to regulate prohibition of smoking at public places. However, they cannot be everywhere at all the time. So enforcement is one of the components of complying to the no-smoking prohibition. The other component is empowerment from the public, from the smokers, from the non-smokers themselves, from the owners of the premises. They can also not enforce, but they have the right to remind the smokers not to smoke in no-smoking places. And smokers also have their role to remember not to smoke at no-smoking places. To be honest, we have 5 million smokers in Malaysia currently. The vast majority of them actually respect the law. It's only a few, sad to say, some minority groups who are desperate to have their cigarette in the non-smoking places.
At the maximum, those caught in the act can be fined up to 10,000 ringgit or imprisoned not exceeding 2 years. And I was reading reports that the compounds usually start at 250 ringgit.
Yes, that's typical.
And last year, about 4.4 million in summons were issued. Are there any consequences for not settling them? Because this is the problem we see with car compounds as well, right?
You
traffic
mean like
compounds.
Speeding?
Yeah, for speeding. Oftentimes, a lot of them are not settled and people ignore them.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. People should not ignore these offences notices, right? Because once you do not comply with the compound given or offered, right, they will open up a court case. So the next, if you're found guilty in court, then the penalty is a lot higher, harsher, right? The penalty is up to 10,000 ringgit or 2 years in jail. So one who have been caught with a smoking offences should not ignore the compound offered. Yeah, it's much cheaper to pay for the compound rather than pay for the penalty fine.
Do you think there needs to be someone to be make an example of so that everyone will be scared of the law? Because I think we've been very kind, right? No one has been jailed for smoking in a public area.
That's not quite true.
They have.
In 2016... there were one imprisonment sentence, but I'm not sure whether that's for smoking in public places or other offence under the regulation. However, most of them, the majority of offenders, they do pay their compound. And a few were taken to courts and then they end up paying penalty instead.
Okay. So you mentioned that we have an estimated 5 million smokers, which is about slightly over 20% of the population.
Correct.
Would you agree with the statement that it is very easy for children to buy and smoke cigarettes at the moment?
Right, I see.
This is, again, I think, an enforcement issue.
Yeah. Actually, there is a slight truth in that. It is quite easy for children to buy at certain places. We did a survey recently and we found that most of the school-age children who smoke, they tend to buy it at certain kind of shops, like sundry shops, right? Who illegally are selling cigarettes to underage people, right, or children.
Right.
Yeah. So that's quite true, actually. Okay. Yeah.
And are there penalties for people who are selling cigarettes to minors?
Definitely. It's a lot harsher than just smoking in public places.
Right.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's double the penalty and an imprisonment up to 5 years, I think. I have to check back on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think getting the proof to, or showing proof, documented proof that that happened is the tough part, right?
Yes, that's one of the challenges. To stand up in court for as a legal proof, you have to show that transaction has been exchanged between the minor and the seller. So that's the challenging part in the enforcement for proving that you've sold cigarettes to kids.
Yeah.
But again, it's most of it is the enforcement officers cannot be everywhere, anywhere, right? Yep. To see this happening. So we have to empower our retailers, right, to abide by the law, not for the health of the nation, not to sell cigarettes to the kids. Because there's another statistic to show that 71% of smokers, of school age smokers, had their first cigarette before the age of 14. So we all start young in this country.
Yep.
So where do they get their cigarettes from? Yeah, if not from their friends, if not from their relatives who smoke, right? They do just buy it off the retail shops.
The price of a pack of cigarette now, it's, I think, 17 ringgit for a pack of 20 sticks.
Yeah.
I think it's becoming unsustainable for some people to continue the habit, maybe for a pack a day or two pack a day.
Mm-hmm.
And also for children. Then comes in the other problem, which is illicit cigarettes, which is at a fraction of a cost.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a problem is that?
Well, it's difficult to say what's the proportion of illicit cigarettes used by smokers in Malaysia. There's some studies saying as low as 25 30%. Some studies showed as high as 40-45%. So we do know it exists. We do know it's a problem. The customs, Royal Customs Department, the Ministry of Health, we always work together to increase activities on enforcement on illicit cigarettes or at the retailer part, at the distribution part, and also for the Ministry of Health at the consumer part.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a problem, but it's an acknowledged problem. And I think the customs especially are working closely with the neighbouring countries to increase protection of smuggling of illicit cigarettes into the country.
The Ministry of Health has a national strategic plan for tobacco control. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. As we said before, we are one of the parties for Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. And for the nation itself, we do have a national strategic plan for tobacco control, 2015 to 2020. Our targets are to reduce the smoking prevalence in Malaysia. Currently is 22.8%, and we aim to achieve 15% by the year 2025. So that's a 30% drop, relatively. And this is also a target set by WHO on countries like Malaysia, for everyone. It's under the non-communicable global NCD target. So we aim to achieve a lower prevalence by 2025, and we aim to achieve what is called the tobacco end game. Tobacco end game is practically there is no more or a lot less people smoke in Malaysia. Definition is less than 5%, and we aim to get this by 2045. Okay. How do we get this? There are two main actions. One is to prevent or halt any new initiation of smokers among our younger generation. That's the most important thing. Stop them from becoming smokers, right? So they do not become the next customer of cigarette products. Number two is to help the current smokers to quit smoking. For this, the Ministry of Health with various agencies have launched the M-Quit program. The M-Quit program is a cessation program which previously are more available at government health clinics and government hospitals, right, throughout the country. But we have expanded this program to private partners as well, especially to community pharmacies or retail pharmacies such as Caring, Guardian and so forth. So you can go to private community pharmacy, for example, in a shopping complex, and you'll see the M-Quit logo. So, and then you know that they are providing smoking cessation services certified by the Ministry of Health. So smokers, go look up for these signs, the M-Quit logo. Or if you need more information, you just go to jomquit.com.my.
What are some of the services?
The M-Quit services is practically a standardized and uniform smoking cessation services guided by clinical practice guidelines, which are the latest evidence-based treatment medications, including behavioral therapy and pharmacotherapy, to guide and help smokers to quit successfully. So you can do this at government clinics, you can do this at private pharmacy as well, or certain institutions, certain private hospitals are also offering M-Quit services. So it's like a uniformed services throughout the nation.
And are we going to be increasing the prices of cigarettes anytime soon?
Well, interesting that you bring that up, because we had a study recently last year with the University of Putra, Malaysia and University of Cape Town, South Africa, on tobacco taxation situation analysis in Malaysia. It actually showed that the current price of RM17.50 at most is still affordable for some smokers in Malaysia, and is not deterrent enough to reduce the smoking prevalence in Malaysia. In fact, WHO recommended that the tobacco tax portion over the retail price should be more than 75% of the price.
And our rate is about 50-something now?
56.
56, okay.
Yeah. So, how much more can we go up? We still have a lot of room to go to improve the tobacco taxation so that the price will be main deterrent factor for smokers to think about quitting and for non-smokers to think about not starting.
If we increase the price by too much, would it not come to a situation where, one, they will turn to illicit cigarette, or mm-hmm. two, because it is such an addictive substance,
yep.
they would turn to unsavory means to get their cigarettes.
I see, like
stealing,
crime.
Crime, yes.
Yeah.
Petty crimes.
There's no denying that whenever the price is increased, if there's an option, people will switch to the option, right? So that's why enforcement and controls on the illicit products is as equally important as raising the tobacco tax. And on the second part where people turn to crime, I don't have the statistics to show on that. But personally, I believe the other option is just to quit, to think about quitting, right? Another national survey showed that majority of smokers, 90% of smokers, are aware of the dangers of smoking, and 70% of them want to quit smoking because they're so well aware of the dangers of smoking, especially because of the pictorial health monitoring, the gory pictures on the cigarette boxes,
yeah.
right? So 90% are aware, 70% want to quit, 50% had attempted quitting at least once in the past 12 months,
right?
So there's so many smokers who do not want to smoke. They actually had to smoke because of their addiction, right? And these are our brothers, our friends, our family, and our relatives, right? Okay, so a lot of them want to quit. So please go and get professional help to quit, because studies, numerous international and local studies, have shown that quitting alone, what you think of using of your willpower alone, is not enough. It's a fifth less likely to quit compared than if you get a professional help, which is free by the government, right? In fact, you can call our national quit line, which is the USM quit line, for at 046535999 every Monday to Friday from 9 to 6 p.m., right? This is a free quit smoking program where they will coach you with via telephone how to quit, and they will guide you throughout a year. They will go through the process with you throughout a year. And if you need pharmacotherapy, if you need medication, they will guide you to the nearest MQuit centers to where you live, so that you can get both pharmacotherapy from the MQuit center and adjunct support from the quit line via phone as well.
So, and you also mentioned the gory pictures on the cigarette packs. What are we doing about plain packaging? It was a contentious topic last year. Do we have any update on that?
Excellent question. Well, scientifically, it has been shown that plain packaging reduced the number of non-smokers, especially kids, wanted to start cigarette smoking. So that's good for what we said earlier, to reduce the smoking
stop
prevalence.
Stop them from even starting. Yes,
yes, correct. Right. And also, plain packaging has been shown, especially in Australia, to reduce the consumption of smoking among smokers. So it helps both ways. In Malaysia, we are committed to do plain packaging, but it's not just yet. There are still other activities in tobacco control that we are looking into, but we never discounted plain packaging.
Singapore recently increased the minimum smoking age to 21, and we tried to do that as well, but we're now still at 18.
Mm-hmm.
And first question is, why is it still 18? Why not 21? And second, also, why 21? Why do we set the arbitrary threshold at 21 instead of maybe 22, 25?
Right, okay. Well, historically, the legal smoking age was set at 18 with the development of controlled tobacco products in 2004. That was, as you said, arbitrary number for minor, right? 18. But we do know a lot of our smokers started earlier than that, uninformed. They're making an uninformed decision about to try to smoke or to become a smoker. But there recently in the past 10 years in America, There's been a movement to raise the legal smoking age to 21 because many people are not aware, even though they are 19 or 20, they do not know that once they smoke, they will become addicted for life. So raising from 18 to 21 will save a fraction number of Americans from becoming smokers and to improve the national health. So this has been seen as a good move by tobacco control internationally. So Malaysia is going for a Tobacco Control and Smoking Act bill, which should be tabled within 2 years, of which we will raise the legal smoking age from 18 to 21 as well. So hopefully this will save a few more lives, a few more Malaysian lives from becoming a smoker.
If the Ministry of Health is successful in all their initiative and they achieve 5% smoking prevalence in a few years, aren't the tobacco companies, people listening to you, very scared now? What pushback do you expect to get from them?
Well,
because as you mentioned earlier in the interview, that this is a legacy product, right, with long historical presence in Malaysia. It's not easy to eliminate them.
Yes, yes. How do I respond to this? Well, our aim is for health, right? If because of that aim, it means the product is sold less. So, I mean, that's the consequences of the tobacco control activities, right? Which is good for us, right? People keep saying that cigarettes gives, how to call it, the government collects a lot of revenues from cigarettes. But this is offset by how much the government is spending for treating cigarette-related diseases. For example, in 2011, the government collects about $3 billion from cigarette taxes, but the government spent $3.8 billion in treating just three of the main diseases caused by cigarettes, by smoking, right? So it's a negative balance, right? So no win situation there, right?
Okay.
And for many businesses, they are all going smoke-free because they do know that smoking and smoking among their workers caused them loss of productivity. For example, I think there was a report from Bedford Borough in UK last month that smoking alone cost them $14 million in losses in terms of productivity, from smoking breaks, from taking time off work for sick days, and also for early death due to smoking among their workers in Borough. So it's many businesses, many corporates, they are helping their workers by providing them smoking cessation and also by creating smoke-free as part of the wellness program in their companies in Malaysia.
So that number to call again if you need any counselling is 0465359999.
Correct.
Monday to Fridays, 9 to 6 p.m. And MQuid is the place you want to go to if you need further assistance.
Yes, and you can go to jomquid.com.my.
Dr. Nizam, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.